Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 5. In this chapter, we continue the theme of exploring Solomon's wisdom, and today we get to see the wisdom Solomon had in the area of commerce and foreign diplomacy, and more importantly, how he could merge the two. Verse 12 says, "The Lord gave Solomon wisdom just as he promised him." There were peaceful relations between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. That means that God's wisdom extended to areas where people normally thought you just had to be skilled or good at it. Have you ever considered inviting God into an area to give you wisdom? I'm currently writing a textbook on church planning right now, and I can't tell you the amount of times I've stopped, paused, and prayed and said, "God, give me more wisdom now." Years ago, I used to meet weekly with a friend of mine who would stop and pray with me every Monday afternoon. One afternoon, I was talking to him about how hard it was working on my master's thesis for my master's degree in theology. As I talked with him, I shared with him that this was a hard struggle. I had never written anything this technical or detailed or long before. Listening to my story, my friend paused and asked me, looking at me intently, "Have you prayed and asked God to help you with this?" I looked back at him blankly. I had never, ever thought about asking God into my academic life to help me write something that I felt I just had to study hard for. I had been studying hard, but I hadn't prayed. That afternoon, when we were done, I went up to my office, sat at that desk for about 15 or 20 minutes, and prayed. I don't know what to tell you except that that day, my entire master's thesis broke open before me, and from then on, from that day forward, it was all downhill. Imagine all of the areas that God might come into if we would simply ask Him. Before we jump back in, it might be helpful to know a little bit about some of the areas and the people that we're talking about in this chapter. Tyre, T-Y-R-E, was a mighty trading city that was thought to be undefeatable. The inhabitants were the Phoenicians, and it controlled two natural harbors on the Mediterranean Sea. And it was also one of the richest cities in the world because it controlled so much of the trade enterprise of the day. Because this was a time of peace, and Tyre was thought to be unconquerable, Solomon opted to play nice with them and win them over rather than conquer them and fight them. In his wisdom, Solomon seeks to compliment them and feed into what they're good at and proud of, rather than threatening them or challenging them. He tells them that no one can do it like them in verse 6. We read, "So give orders that the cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My men will work with yours, and I will pay you for your men whatever wages you set. You know that we have no one so skilled in felling timber as the Sidonians." We're told that this greatly pleased Hiram. So David had set aside 3,750 tons of gold, 37,500 tons of silver, and an unmeasured amount of bronze, iron, stone, and wood. But Solomon still needed the cedar beams that were incredibly sturdy to hold all of these 3,750 tons of gold and 37,500 tons of silver up. After all, he was building it over stone and then coating it with wood and then eventually coating it with gold. And the cedars of Lebanon were the most strongest wood that they possibly knew of in the world at that time. Solomon had learned the mastery of trade. He had an abundance of food, as we saw in the last chapter, and Hiram had an abundance of wood, and they needed what each of the others had. Verses 13 through 15 tell us about the incredible manpower needed to undertake the building of the temple. So in verses 13, King Solomon conscripted laborers from all Israel, 30,000 men. He sent them off to Lebanon in shifts of 10,000 a month, so they spent 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 70,000 carriers and 80,000 stonecutters in the hills, as well as 3,300 foremen who supervised the project and directed the workers. At the king's command, they removed from the quarry blocks of high-grade stone to provide a foundation of dressed stone for the temple. The craftsmen of Solomon and Hiram and workers from Byblos cut and prepared the timber and stone for the building of the temple. It's amazing to me as you look at this that Solomon actually had a three-month workflow, 1 month abroad, 2 months at home. That way the men weren't feeling the pull on their family and could give it all they had for 30 days away and come back and work with the same load of stone or timber that they cut and work with all their heart while still getting to be close to their family. This kind of wisdom back then was absolutely unheard of, and we see already Solomon starting to care for his workers. Even today, we're still excavating some of the old stone foundations of the temple and the city walls in Jerusalem. One of the ways that we know that Solomon's wisdom was incredible in dealing with and managing all of these various building projects and international affairs was that very few could actually handle it. In fact, his son, who reigns after him, quickly loses the kingdom and it slips through his fingers because he's not able to manage the affairs that his father did with the same amount of skill, grace, and finesse. Even by today's standards, this project is immense, and it's still impressive. And in case you're tempted to think, well, maybe Solomon didn't really do all of this, like I said, we're still digging deep into the foundations of the Mount in Jerusalem and finding stones so big and massive building projects that exactly match the book of 1 Kings and the description of the buildings that Solomon built. Yes, it all happened, and it was all that. One last thing before we go. Solomon learned to give his best to God. Nothing was second rate. The gold was pure. The wood was strong. The stone was hand-chiseled and sculpted. Solomon knew to give his best, but he also gave his best to Hiram and the other people that traded with him. You know, today, what you have, someone else may need, and that's why God's given us spiritual gifts. Perhaps you have the gift of encouragement. Hey, for someone else who doesn't have that gift, what you have in abundance that doesn't seem like much to you is really the best that someone else could expect today. And maybe they have something you need. Maybe they have the gift of compassion. And you're going through a rough time and you need the gifts that they have. That's what fellowship is all about. That's what discipleship pops on. You may not be dealing with international diplomacy, but you are dealing with the gifts that God has given you to bless others with. So why not tap into that today? Why not start using your gifts, finding out what they are, finding out what God's placed deep within you that needs to be given out to others who need what you have? Well, read 1 Kings chapter 5 today, and as you do, give God your best, knowing He gave His best to you, and look to share your best with others.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.